Tonight, as I said, I have the privilege of having Eric McCarthy in the studio with me. And for anyone that hasn't had the privilege of listening to myself and Eric talking on the radio for, I don't know, the bones of 2 years. 2 years, what do you think? Yeah, something like that. The last time I was on the show with him, I said, you know what? Why don't you come on my show with me the next time, and we'll see how that is. So turn the tables a little bit, you know. So I have the master scrutinising what I do and what I don't do now, you know.
No, there's no master about it. No, it's just nice to be on this side of the table, as I said to him, because I don't have to think about it.
You don't have to think about anything.
So,
as I was saying on the build up to you being on the radio, I was saying that maybe they might learn a little bit more about you other than the radio person that they hear at the other end of it. Mm. And you know, having our conversations on the radio, one of the things that really intrigued me about you is that the karate aspect of you. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you know, do you want to share a little bit about that
yeah,
side of you?
It's a huge part of my life, has been for a long, long, long time. I started back in 1981, I think. It came out The Killer.
Are you on this? Sorry, I can't hear you through the speaker. How do I? Anyway, Grant, carry on.
Yeah, but it started off in Killer at the Yard Club. And I suppose, like everyone else, I went away then for a few years, I suppose, in the late teens and early 20s, emigrated and all that kind of stuff, and came back to it then. And I'm at it since, really. So I'm at it about 30-odd years, I suppose.
Okay.
So I went in, like anything, I just went in just to kind of stay fit and an interest. And I suppose at that time, everyone was kind of into Bruce Lee and all that kind of thing. That's why we kind of took it up.
Yeah.
But, I kind of started the starting room competitions then and that, and kind of things kind of went well from there, then, I suppose, really.
And where are you at it now in the world of the karate? You were saying you're heading to the European Champions.
Yeah, we'll be at European Championships in 7 weeks' time.
Okay.
Tomorrow, 7 weeks, actually, we'll be competing.
Okay.
So, tis all systems go for that now at the moment. It's just...
And I suppose me being a psychotherapist, you know, I'm really intrigued, like, about the mental health, the mental attitude that you must have to do karate. Like, I mean, I know it's the physical side of things, but even remembering all the moves and everything like that, it must have.
I suppose, you know, like karate, like traditional karate, Shotokan karate, which is what we do here in New York. It's a way of life, really. It's a way of living.
Okay.
So it's not. I wouldn't say it's a stress or anything like. Absolutely not. Quite contrary, if anything.
Yeah.
You know, but it's a way of life.
Okay.
And that's, I suppose, a lot of young people don't think about that. But the older you get, the more you realise, yeah, it is actually a way of life. And that's the teachings of it.
Mm.
Budo, as they call it. That's what they call it, Budo. That's the kind of karate way.
Karate that you do.
But, I suppose, the mental side of things then is the competition side of things. Yeah, that there is a big mental part. Mm. A very, very big part to that.
But the focus must be something unreal, is it?
Yeah. As I say, competing competitions, international competitions, like we're competing with Ireland and that, like, you know, we're going to Europeans and Worlds there, and we were lucky enough to be brought to a lot of countries around the world competing.
Yeah.
You know, you go to Europeans there now, in a few weeks' time, like, there'll be 25, 26, 27 different nationalities there. Worlds, there could be over 50, 60 different countries there, like,
wow.
So it's a privilege. It absolutely is a privilege to be going to these places.
Yeah.
But there is an awful lot of focus in it. Absolutely, you know, you have to be really driven at that level.
Yeah,
you have to be obsessed, of course, really
with what it is like. You know,
and, absolutely. Yeah,
you know, and I suppose you know, you're not as young as you used to be.
That's
the safest place I can use any of the safest wording. But I mean, I must say, like, I mean, for someone in their 50s, like, to have to be involved with this and to be still involved in the European level, and I know you've been doing it all your life, really, like, but I mean, it must be a privilege, as you said, like, to be still involved at this stage of your life, like, you know.
I absolutely love it. I mean, it's a drug. I hate the build up to a competition, or the day of the competition, the morning of the competition, you know, the nerves and why am I doing this and all, you know, you've all stuff going through your head. But when the competition starts, then I absolutely love it. You know, your adrenaline is pumping and just, you just can't buy that feeling. Can't buy it. I just, stepping out onto the mat there to compete, it's the best feeling in the world. It really is.
Yeah.
You know?
And in as far as Yall is concerned, do you teach people and stuff like that in
Yall? Yeah. Does I suppose Peter Sullivan is actually the main man there. Well, he's after taking kind of a step back. He's with the club. Club is 50 years old next year, wow. And he's there since day one. So he's training since.
Yeah.
He's quite a young lad.
Yeah.
So Stuart Hickey then kind of took over a few years back, and I kind of just come in, give him a hand then as well. So between, and Jim Long is there. So there's kind of three or four of us there kind of teaching and giving classes and whatever like that. And, you know, it's fine. You know, you have to give back as well. Like, that's all part of the circle of life, really.
And I suppose tonight, the theme of my topic was to talk a little bit about low self-esteem in teenagers. I would imagine joining the karate club and stuff like that would be very good for helping teenagers with their low self-esteem.
I remember my as a teenager, I hated being a teenager. I think, looking back, it was tough. I found it very tough. I really did. We had great times and all that, but I suppose behind it all, like a lot of teenagers, you have your struggles, absolutely, and self-esteem, especially now. I mean, it was kind of bad in our day, I suppose. But now it's
a million times worse with social media.
I know. Be a teenager at the moment.
Yeah. I just they get it. Like, I mean, I used to always say about I was bullied in school, and one of the things I used to always say about bullying was at least the bully stayed at the gate when I left. Nowadays,
and I think a lot of us got bullied to some extent at school. I certainly did at stages, just they said nothing about it at the time. I got into fights in school and
just carried on.
Jesus, what happened to you? I fell.
You know? But at least it was physical.
Yeah. But it's really tough. I found it tough being a teenager, and did have low self-esteem. There's no doubt about that. But like everything else, changed, things get better all the time. No matter how bad it gets, and I know just people probably listening there, and if they're down in the dumps at the moment, here we go again. But it's true, I think youth is wasted on the youth.
Completely. But we didn't listen.
No,
they're not going to listen.
The stuff, I even met someone yesterday, and we're talking about the same thing, all the stuff we're after learning over the years, if you could only have another go of it again, the different, you'd do a lot of stuff, it'd be the same, absolutely, but there'd be a lot of decisions you'd make, they would be different.
But I had a conversation with someone about the same thing, and then I say to myself, I look back on my life and I look back on my timeline and I go, would I be where I am now if things had been different, if someone had intervened with me and actually said, those negative thoughts in your mind are not yours and you can leave them behind you and maybe living a positive life, I probably would have went down a completely different path. Maybe I would have eventually become a psychotherapist, but would I be as good a psychotherapist if I hadn't the drama that I had in my life?
And that's it. Life teaches you a lot of lessons.
Yeah, it does.
And I wouldn't swap anything, really. I've been lucky enough to have a good life and a healthy life and, a healthy family and all that kind of stuff. So, that to me is, that's gold.
Yeah, exactly. And staying in the present and staying in the moment and just enjoying what is around you.
Yeah, and that's thing we kind of get lost in a lot of the time, really, kind of worrying about what's ahead of us worrying about, as someone said to me, what's behind us is history. What's ahead of you?
Yeah.
You can't predict. So, just kind of, after now, really.
Yeah, but as I say to people, you have more time in front of you than you have behind you.
And that's what I think I like about competitions as well, and competing and all that. You are 100% in the know.
Yeah. Oh, you have no other place. You get ahead.
Without even trying to think in it. But you are there.
That's
your full focus is on that, a couple of minutes you're on the floor.
Yeah.
And there's no other distractions.
No.
Absolutely none.
Yeah.
I've been to competitions and you have people shouting and screaming, come on, chanting and all that. But I honestly, I don't even hear it. It's got, shut out. You're that intense. And I suppose, to get into that
mindset,
and to do it more often, it must be, must be a brilliant place to be.
But I mean, like, I mean, I suppose the realization within yourself that you've actually been doing mindfulness all your life without actually realizing it,
yeah.
that you have been focusing, you know, as I said to another client of mine the other day, where, you know, he what he does is he crafts. So he puts huge detail into what he does, and he could spend 5-6 hours into just miniature things. And I was saying to him, I says, but when you do that, I said, is you any anxiety? No. I said, wouldn't it be great if you could replicate that in life?
Yeah.
That you can do this and you can do it really, really good. If you can just replicate this in life, you're sorted.
Yeah.
You know how to do it.
And most of us do.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Like, even you were just on about teenagers there and you know, I bet you, like, if they're all playing sport or something like that, their mind is on that, and and you know, they're in a good place then.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So we all can go into a good place.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, a lot of people would say to me, oh, but I need to learn how to do this. I go, no, you don't. You've known this. You've been doing it most of your life of different aspects of it. It's just that you don't realise that you're actually doing it. It's the same as, you know, from young with you doing karate, like, and learning to do karate. And as you said, when you go out in the championship and you're out on the mat, you're so focused on the present. You've actually been practising staying in the moment, mindfulness, all your life without actually realising that you're doing it.
Yeah, it is. Like, it, I mean... But I suppose to be consciously doing it, then I suppose that's another thing altogether. Then we're doing that probably we're not conscious of what we're doing, you know, because we're so lost to doing something, you know. But if you were to tell me, you know, just go out there and meditate there for 10 minutes, or, you know, Jesus, I'd be, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, it just proves that. And I mean, one of the things I'd say over and over again to clients or when I'm doing the workshops is that it's repetition. It's repetition that actually will get you there. You had repetition around the karate, around learning that aspect of it, and, you know, anyone that has negative thoughts and stuff like that in their mind, you know, that came from repetition of someone saying something negative to them.
Yeah, and like. There was someone give me, you know, like, I'm all the time picking up little bits and nuggets here, right? How could I use this? And how could I use, you know, try to bring it into what I'm doing, obviously, great and all that. But there was a fella said to me there only quite recently, you know, about training and all that. Eric, you're training, you know, put that training session into the bank. Do another training session, put that into the bank. When it comes to competition time, you go to the bank.
You pull it
it's
out.
It's there.
Yeah.
You pull it out.
Yeah.
That's it. You. It's there for you.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the same. And I think that should be the same in anything in life, really. Oh. You know, like meditation or anything like that. You meditate. When you come across that moment when you think, Jesus, I need help here. It's there for you.
Well, it's like what I always say to people is that I give them the tools of life. And so many times clients have come back to me and said, "Jeez, Shane, your toolbox is really helpful. I really understand what I need to do." And I mean, you know, we've talked a few times, like, about when you should intervene and when you should be helping people. And I think, you know, again, 15, 16 years of age is the age to start giving people that toolbox so that they know that the life that they're able to live, they know that if something goes wrong, this is what I do and this is how I handle it. And the problem nowadays in society is that people don't have the toolboxes. You know, as we were briefly mentioned there, like, in my opinion, like, social media is one of the worst things of all, especially TikTok, like, you know what I mean? It's such repetitive... whatever, you know. I don't watch it, so I don't
it is
repetitive. Like, you know, I've clients there and like, you know, they're getting 2-3 hours sleep. Why? Because they're actually stuck to their phone and they actually think that their phone is actually making them fall asleep, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, you know what I mean? And you know, pulling yourself away from phones and all that, like. And, you know, with some clients, I literally can help them as best I possibly can in the moment and help them with what's going on for them at the moment. But I don't even go near the whole social media side of things because I don't think I'll get through to him.
No,
you know?
I certainly not. No,
I
don't think not in today's life. No, because I see my own lads, like, and they're in their 20s now. And, you know, they're just on social media, TikTok.
Whatever,
like a Facebook. This is only kind of a
That's an old man's thing.
Twitter is probably a by the way. And,
but the big one now anyway is Instagram Reels as well now. So that's the other big one that they're all stuck into. And in my opinion, Instagram is the worst one because it's all about pictures. So it's all about likes. You know, I had a client saying to me the other day, like, I mean, if I don't get, and I was like, she said if I don't get 2,000 likes in a day, there's something wrong.
Yeah, but isn't that a sad way to live?
Oh, it is a sad way to live. And then what happens if she doesn't get to 2,000 likes? bear in mind she's always getting a lot more.
But you're looking
for reassurance from invisible foes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to have to live like your life by that type of a rule that you have to live by, you know?
And that's why I find like people get involved in some kind of sport or movement or activity or something like, I mean, that's, we're designed for that.
Yeah, completely.
You know, we're designed to move and to get out there. Like, and that's why we have the fear, fright, flight.
Yeah, fear, fright, flight, yeah.
And, you know, we're designed to move. If we don't move, we die, simple as
completely,
that.
Completely, yeah. But, I mean, that's the way, you know, we started off as cavemen, you know, and that's what we had. We were hunter-gatherers back then, and it's still within us.
Yeah, and that's why we have a lot of these thoughts, I suppose.
Yeah.
A lot of those thoughts now are probably... I would have said, you know, there's a lot more branches of those thoughts now because there's so much stuff going on that we're getting fed so much information didn't thousands of years ago. We've been bombarded with information every day of the week.
Yeah.
That's not natural or that, you know, we haven't evolved to that yet maybe.
Well, I said to a colleague of myself the other day, I said, I don't listen to the news. I don't listen to, any news that's on the radio or watch television. And she was like, but how do you know what's going on? I went, why do I need to know what's going on?
Mm.
Isn't what's going on in my bubble the most important thing?
Mm.
You know what I mean? Okay, there are certain aspects that I will hear about and stuff like that, like, because you could actually not watch the news or not listen to the news, but you still know what's going on in the world because people tell you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one of the things we talked, remember, in the first lockdown and stuff like that, was for people to actually step away from the news, because we were all, as someone reflected to me the other day, that during the first lockdown, it was literally on an edge waiting for the 6 o'clock news, waiting for the numbers, waiting for the cases and stuff like that.
Right.
And, you know, we were encouraging people to step away from the radio, even though we were on the radio, but we were encouraging people to step away from the news, step away from being pulled and drawn into that negativity. Because in my opinion, if you're doing anything that's negative, it's not good for you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And, you know, just pulling away from that cycle of it, you know, everything is revolving around that. And as you said, you and I have the willpower to do it. Because we have the drive. But you have teenagers coming up now and they're actually hooked into their phones for, you know, and you know, the younger they are, the more malleable they are.
And, like,
you know?
And there is some great kids out there, there really is, and some kids out there, teenagers and that are excelling in what they're doing. And but, you know, not enough of them, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I see they're teaching classes like that, you know, and the attention span there, some of them, they're kind of like, they're looking out the window. You know, you're talking to them, like, but they're not listening, you know. the lights are on, but there's no one at home kind of thing. And it can be very frustrating at times, but look, that's all part of it, I suppose, really.
That's all part of what we have and stuff like that. Like, but it must be a privilege to, A, compete, like I said, for you, and B, to teach people this world.
And I tell you, like, when I think of it, really, I'm very, very, very lucky to do what I'm doing. And as I said, I'm healthy.
Yeah.
And I love what I do, which is great, even at this age. You know, I can't wait to get out there and compete again. And, you know, it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Know? So where's the European Champions on this year?
It's in the Netherlands this year, no?
Right.
Holland,
okay.
Hergen Bosch, I think is the name of the place.
Okay.
It's just outside Amsterdam. So, yeah, like, just 5 years since we had the Europeans, because, like, they're every 3 years, but they missed it over the...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That curse we had.
Yeah, whatever that was, yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to this one.
That downtime we had.
Yeah. It's the first big international now, really. Like, so.
It's your first international in how long? Big international?
Yeah, it's the first one. It's the last one was 3 years ago, actually, the World Championships, yes.
Okay. Okay.
So we can't...
So you're hoping to retain your title, are you?
Yes.
Yes.
That is the plan.
Sorry, you are going to retain your title.
Yes.
Yes.
That is the plan.
The law of attraction, living in the moment.
And you know what? And that's the thing, a lot of us Irish people, as anything coming in the door, a lot of us Irish people, you know, we love being underdogs and we love, you know, thinking, yeah, God, maybe if I got this, I may, but, like, you know, I go around the attitude, I am.
Hmm.
I am going to.
Yeah.
I will do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I can do it. You know,
yeah.
Maybe don't come into it.
No, you are going to do it. So what message would you like to send out into the world as a last thought? You land stuff on me, go on. You know, we were talking about teenagers there. What message would you like to say to them?
For teenagers, lads and girls, you know, some of you might be struggling now at the moment, some of you might have had horrible exams, some of you might be having horrible situations and all that, but I can promise you that passes, you know, it really does. And like, there's a big bright world out there, loads of places to visit. Don't get stuck in a bubble.
Yeah.
Because there's so much to see, so much to do, and keep learning, and keep learning, and keep learning. If you're not learning, you're not growing.
Exactly.
You know, and that's the most important thing. Keep educating yourself.
Exactly.
No matter what.
Thanks very much, Eric. It's been a privilege to reverse the tables, and best of luck in 7 weeks' time.
Thank you very
Thanks.
Much.
Okay,
Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Cheers.